his was not a bad deal for someone who had hired the team that had successfully assassinated the Russian president and almost killed the American one. This was a high-stakes game, and Yadid knew that if he was discovered to be working for the Americans, he could expect to be skinned alive before his beheading as a warning to others who might be tempted to side with what the Iranians called the Great Satan. He felt fortunate he hadn't ended up like his associate Vasily Andrenov, blown to bits by perpetrators yet unknown. He knew he was lucky to escape with his life after the American commandos had stormed his boat, and even luckier to have made a deal with that CIA doctor. He shuddered at the thought of the small, academic-looking man with the pelican cases, and he was smart enough to know not to press his luck. The agency had set up surveillance on Yadid for a month to establish his pattern of life, run counter-surveillance, and ensured that his tradecraft was polished enough to communicate with his case officer working out of the American embassy. Once they felt comfortable, they had backed off to allow him to continue to build his business while gathering intelligence for his new masters. Mohammed Farouk waited patiently outside and just down the street from the Syrian general's flat, the 1988 Mercedes G230 wagon blending in perfectly with the night's light traffic going to and from the more popular night spots in Athens. The general had retired earlier than usual, just shy of 2 a.m., and had even opened the gate for his companion. This one looked to be about 20. The large bodyguard followed, scanned the street, eyes coming to rest on Mo's vehicle, before closing the gate, ensuring it was securely locked, and walking up the steps to the front door. 20 minutes later, the G-Wagon's passenger side door opened, and a tall Westerner in dark clothes slid inside.
"Thought we might be doing this another night, my friend," Mo said, turning to face the American.
"Nope. It happens tonight," James Reese replied. "Do you have what I asked for?"
Mo reached into the back seat and handed Reese a leather satchel and a pair of black gloves.
"It's in there. The pistol's a bit on the antique side. If investigated, it will be traced back to a deceased Bratva enforcer," Mo said, referencing the Russian mafia. "It certainly won't be linked to anyone who will lead them to either of us."
After putting on the gloves, Reese reached inside and pulled out a small black pistol. Inspecting it, he looked at Mohammed with a questioning eye.
"Will it work?"
"It will work for your purposes."
Reese ejected the magazine from the Beretta M1934 pistol and pressed down on the top round with his thumb to ensure it was fully loaded, then inserted it into the weapon and racked the slide before engaging the safety. Chambered in the small 9mm Corto, known to Americans as 380 ACP, it wouldn't have been Reese's first choice, but he was pleased that the old pistol was fitted with a suppressor. Stealth was an important component of tonight's operation. Reaching back into the bag, Reese extracted a small box and carefully cracked the hinge to find a bottle wrapped in an old rag.
"I wasn't sure you'd be able to get this. How'd you do it?"
"Reese, I am now one of the world's most notorious terrorists, thanks to you and the CIA. My Nawaz-affiliated networks are still in place. I say the word and it gets done. You'd be surprised at how deep these cells are embedded into both the Western and Eastern worlds, my friend."
Reese nodded.
"I know this is non-sanctioned, so I won't ask too many questions," Mo continued. "There are easier ways for the CIA to liquidate their own asset than by sending you to Greece. Were it not for you, I'd still be working for Landry, may God curse him for eternity. So whatever you need, I shall provide."
"Thanks, buddy. Is your man inside?"
"He is. With Yadid's protective detail either dead or in a black site prison, he needed someone with the right credentials, a Syrian, who just happens to work for me,"
Mose said with a sly smile. The CIA will get their money's worth out of me, I assure you. Pity the same cannot be said for our Syrian general. I know they will, and I'm going to do what I can to get you out of this deal. I'll need some time, but I'll make it happen.
Gratitude, my friend. Eventual freedom from indentured servitude, I believe you call it.
Something like that. After tonight, there are two more people I need to put in the ground, the men directly responsible for Freddy's death. As far as I can tell, the CIA doesn't know where they are yet. As soon as I use all assets at the agency's disposal to find them, I'm out.
So, we shall work together once again at the behest of American intelligence, just like the old days in Iraq.
Looks that way, Reese affirmed.
Inshallah. One day, we shall both be free.
Inshallah, Reese responded. Reese looked at his watch.
Let him know I'm coming.
Mo texted a single word via his cell phone and nodded to Reese.
He knows. I'll be here if you need me. Allah yusalmak.
Reese exited the vehicle, pulled the satchel over his shoulder, and moved up the street toward his target.
What was taking her so long?
She'd enjoyed dinner and downed her share of wine, followed by champagne at the club. He hoped she hadn't passed out on his bathroom floor. He liked watching her dance, turning down the advances of men much younger than he, returning to him when he'd beckoned. Back at his flat, she hadn't been interested in the drugs, instead having a final drink before going to the washroom to change into the lingerie he'd purchased for her earlier in the evening. She seemed genuinely attracted to him, a result of the unnecessary but pleasant wining and dining. The sex was always better with these young ones if they thought it was more than just a business transaction. They still had hope. A sharp rap at the door startled him.
Mada to read, he shouted angrily from his bed.
The door opened, and a man who was not his bodyguard entered the room, a black suppressed pistol in his outstretched hand.
Where is she? The man asked in a tone that conjured images of death itself.
Yadid looked to the nightstand drawer, knowing he could never make it to his Makarov pistol in time, then nodded toward the bathroom. Reese moved across the room, his eyes and pistol still trained on the overweight general in white boxers, propped up against the throw pillows, and opened the door.
Get your things, he said to the small blonde girl, whose eyes betrayed a mixture of fright and dismay, as he ushered her to the bedroom door and into the waiting hands of Yadid's bodyguard, who would escort her away.
Fucking traitor,
Yadid spat.
Do you know who I am? Reese asked, his voice devoid of emotion.
The general took a deep breath and eyed the intruder suspiciously in the dim yellow glow coming from a single lamp next to the bed.
Well, you are American, that I can tell. You can't be agency, as they have other means to contact me.
Ah, but this might be a test. The Central Intelligence Agency is famous for testing their sources to assess loyalty.
I'm not agency, and this is not a test. I'm here for information. Whether you live or end up like your buddy, Andrenov, depends on the quality of that information. Do you understand?
Yadid nodded slowly, digesting everything he'd just heard. He had not been a frontline soldier. He'd chosen an even more dangerous career path. He'd been a politician in uniform under Bashar al-Assad and his father, Hafez al-Assad, before him. He was more adept at political maneuvering in a game during which one small error or lapse of judgment meant torture and death. He'd played the game well.
I understand. What can I do for you?
The sniper, Nizar Khatan, and Oliver Gray. I need to find them.
Yadid studied the bearded American, weighing his options.
I've told my handler everything I know that's part of my deal.
Yadid said, gesturing to the room.
I don't believe you are not agency. They are the only ones, how do you say it, privy to those names?
The small caliber bullet entered General Yadid's right knee just above the kneecap, breaking bone and tearing cartilage and ligaments along its path before terminating its flight halfway through the thick mattress. The general's eyes opened wide in horror as he inhaled sharply at the pain, grabbing his leg, too shocked to even scream as his mind raced to catch up with what had just happened. Reese covered the 5 steps to the bed in less than a second, whipping the pistol down and across the Syrian general's face, careful not to impact the jaw or temple, instead shattering the cheekbone and leaving a nasty gash in its wake.
"Look at me," Reese hissed down at the terrorist he knew was part of the conspiracy that left his friend's wife and children without a father, and had helped almost unleash a nerve toxin on a civilian population, all for money.
Yadid looked up in a mixed state of shock and confusion.
Who was this man? I told you I'm not agency, but I do want answers.
Reese stepped back and aimed the suppressed pistol directly at Yadid's head.
It's too late for the leg, you'll lose it above the knee. If you want to keep the other one and your life, I better believe what you have to say.
Yes, yes,
the general panted, frantically trying to stem the flow of blood soaking his sheets.
Nizar and Gray, I need to know what you didn't tell the agency. I need to know where they are now.
I don't know. I swear to the Prophet I don't, Yadid pleaded.
The only prophet you worship is the god of money, Reese said, nodding toward an armoire set up as a bar with an assortment of drugs at the ready.
Then what do you want?
I want you to guess, and it better be a good one. I know Andrenov hired you to put the team together, and I know that Gray wanted to run this himself, which puts you at a severe disadvantage tonight. I need your best educated guess as to where they might go and who they might contact.
His leg in tatters and his face dripping blood, the American, the very incarnation of death standing over him, General Yadid weighed his options. He thought once again about his pistol in the drawer, a mere few feet away, but decided that discretion was the better part of valor in this particular situation. He could talk his way out of this.
It's so painful. I need something for the pain. Please.
Reese walked to the armoire and eyed the selection of drugs and alcohol, giving General Yadid a moment to contemplate his pain and his future.
Vodka? Reese asked.
Please, yes, vodka,
Yadid responded through gritted teeth.
Think carefully, Yadid. You don't want this drink to be your last.
Reese kept an eye on Yadid in the mirror as he set his Beretta on the armoire and administered a healthy pour, taking a moment to empty the contents of a small bottle from his satchel into the liquid with his gloved hand. He picked up his pistol, turned back around, and approached the bloodied, overweight man, breathing heavily and still gripping his leg above what used to be his knee. The general looked up and reached for the drink.
Not yet, Yadid. First, tell me where you think Gray and Nizar would go to ground.
Okay. Okay,
the Syrian said in defeat.
As I told the CIA in my debrief, I don't know. What I can tell you is that Andrenov is connected, both in D.C. and in Russia. Gray certainly can't go back to the United States, and neither can Nizar, for obvious reasons, but they can go to Russia.
Russia? But they assassinated the Russian president. Why would they go to Russia?
I see. You do not understand Russia. You are too young. My guess, from the looks of you, is that you spent your time in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Continue, Reese commanded, holding the drink a bit closer to the Syrian.
Russia is a puzzle even more complex than the Middle East,
Yadid continued, still gripping his leg.
Andreyev, though excommunicated from the echelons of power, still had supporters in the government who had hedged their bets in anticipation of his eventual return. But more important, he had deep connections to Russian organized crime, the Mafia. If I were to guess, I would speculate that the plan for this contingency was a fallback, involving the Bratva somewhere in Russia or in a Russian Mafia-controlled city.
Who would they contact exactly? Reese pressed.
I don't know, Yadid prayed. How could I? That is Andrenov's territory.
Who? Reese ordered again, moving the pistol to the general's one good knee.
I don't know, I swear to it. I don't know.
Reese contemplated the man before him, shot, beaten, crushed, and lowered the gun.
I believe you,
Reese said, handing the general his drink. Yadid reached for it with both bloodied hands and brought it to his lips, taking two huge gulps of the strong liquor, closing his eyes in momentary relief from the torture this man had wrought. Something was wrong. Instead of the expected respite, he felt an intense burning in his mouth, followed quickly by a pain, sharper than anything he'd ever experienced, attacking his lungs and stomach. His eyes moved questioningly to the man standing over him, but were quickly torn away as they rolled back in his head, his back arching, the drink falling onto his chest, convulsions racking his body. As the dose of Novichok liquid-soluble precursor seized control of his musculoskeletal system and threw him into an exorcistic seizure. As fluid began to flow into Yadid's lungs, his mouth filled with a white froth that leaked down his chin and out of his nose, his body deteriorating into a writhing mass of agony. His last vision, before his respiratory system shut down and his heart ceased, was of the American tossing his pistol onto the bed, looking down at him without a hint of remorse. Reese exited the building and made his way through the early morning darkness to the waiting Mercedes. He'd carefully removed his gloves and left them at the scene. One of Moe's people would leave an anonymous message in Russian for Greek authorities that warned them of the contamination, so that appropriate hazmat crews could respond. The flat would be uninhabitable for years to come. Traffic was extremely light, and none of the drivers paid much attention to the tall figure climbing into the passenger side of the older model German vehicle. He didn't dwell on what he'd just done. The Syrian general had been at it long enough to know that eventually the Reaper comes to call. Reese had gotten the information he needed. His sights were now set on Russia. It was time to hunt.
True Believer, a thriller, was written by Jack Carr and read by Ray Porter. It was recorded by Tim Moore at York Recording in Los Angeles, California. Editing and post-production by Like 2,000 Pounds. True Believer was produced and directed by Travis Tunn. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio. True Believer, a thriller, is available in print from Emily Bessler Books. Also available from Simon & Schuster Audio, The Terminal List, a thriller, written by Jack Carr and read by Ray Porter.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.